Blog Talk Radio.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worst scenario heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Hello. Hi, Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysenic Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenic Freedom microchip. SNSHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysenic joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee with insert in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysenic track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenic Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Proof Negative Show. Tonight, Proof is out. It is his birthday. He is, this is a big birthday for him. It's a momentous birthday, and he wanted to go out and celebrate, and why not? So with you tonight, I am your fearless host, Leslie, and my fabulous first hour co-host, Amanda. How's it going?
I'm great. I hear you got your hair done just in time for our birthday.
Girl, I did. You know what? I went platinum because why not? Why not?
Yes.
And speaking of, do you like the name Segment 928?
I do. I think we should always call it that. Can we just have an
honorary
all-time?
Okay, I think so too.
Okay.
Yeah. So for anyone that doesn't know, which is probably like all of you, Amanda and I share the same birthday. We are birthday Twinkies, and it is absolutely fabulous. And we are both very much in tune with each other's likes and dislikes, which is so awesome. So it's kind
right.
of like thinking in stereo, which, you know what, that's pretty grand.
I know. I do have a couple years on you though. So I was born in 71 and I feel like you were born in 76 or
77.
Which year were you born?
It's 77.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I am currently getting a, currently separated from somebody born September 27th, 1971. So, crazy. So many of my closest friends were born in 71.
Huh.
I don't know what it is about that 6 year mark right there, but you know.
Hmm. We'd have to, maybe we should consult with Molly because she seems to have the inside knowledge on all of that. It's pretty incredible what she can decipher just through the charts, but of course how the planetary alignments work, and she's incredible.
Maybe it has something to do with the 7 year Saturn cycle.
Ah, that's a good point. That's a big possibility. And where your Saturn, I don't know where your Saturn is in your chart. Mine is in my home and family house. So that definitely caused, it indicates some interesting family dynamics for me as a child.
Mine is in Uranus. I'm sorry. I'm 12.
It's just
I can,
fun
I
to
can
say.
Do my chart right here. probably in whatever is shaking things up right now, because there's a lot going on. Oh my gosh, you know, this has really been, this is such an exciting time to be alive and to be aware of what's going on, not necessarily planetary, but to have the instinctual knowledge that comes with the things that have been going on within our country, you know, in the last 2 years regarding the medical freedom movement, my body, my choice, and what that means. You know, there's a lot of things that have really just come to light that are double standard. Not rooted or are based in sound science, research, evidence. We've got a lot going on, and for some of us, because we have a good understanding of what's ahead of us. Whether you are into astrology, or you get visions, or you just instinctively know, and there's a lot of people that just really instinctively know, or you know, just even using history, like, well, you know, we've been lied to before, pretty sure they're lying again.
And it just really is a matter of seeing the patterns. Would you agree? I know someone who's really great at seeing patterns, and just for that mere fact, he is able to in essence, to prophesy the next step, especially for, say, government or any of the elite, the rulers. And I personally don't have visions for as a whole, but I feel like you might have some of that gift. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do. And it hits heavy sometimes. And sometimes I have to remove my energy from it. And then it's like a chihuahua. You know, it's eventually going to catch up to me and bite me. I'm talking about, you know, stereotypical ankle biters. You know, I try to drown it out, and then all of a sudden, you know, a whole bunch of life happens to me, and I'm thinking, well, I saw the signs, but I ignored it. And now I'm here. So, you know, I had this major one because I knew that Harvey was coming. I knew back in March, back before it was an itty bitty storm off the coast of Africa, before it was even a thing. I knew that Harvey was going to hit Texas, and I think I definitely honed into Texas because I've got, so of course I'm here, and I'm ridiculously stereotypical Texan. I met my neighbor across the hall from me, and we laughed forever. But we were talking, and I asked him, you know, where he was born, and he told me, and he said, "Are you always from Texas?" And I just looked at him, and I said, "Look at me. What do you think?" Because I do have that stereotypical Texas earthy confidence going on, you know.
Well, that's a good thing, right? That's a good quality to always be from Texas. I mean, I have never actually been to Texas, but I always have this idea that just Texans are badasses. That's just my nice
you know,
little,
you're right.
View.
You're absolutely right. You know what? You should actually fly down. I've got like the most comfortable. I slept on my fold-out couch for the first week I was here. So it's super comfortable. You know, and I because I have kids and they have friends and, you know, I'm here in the middle of everything awesome. My kids have already started to try and plan things here, and I'm way cool with that. I'm super. Anytime they want to spend time with me, I will latch onto that and glow and bask in that. So, you know, just because, you know, where I live is kind of like it would be a good location for an Airbnb. And in fact, they have had so many issues with people turning these apartments into Airbnbs, and you're not supposed to. But they do a lot of apartment inspections, like a lot of them. And, yeah, kind of interesting.
Interesting. Yes. Well, thank you for the invite. I do have a really close friend in Texas as well, and she and I keep talking like I'm going to come, and it hasn't happened yet. And I'll tell you mainly, well, not all this reason, but a big part of it is I was so upset and annoyed by the way things went down with the airlines with 2020 and 2021 that I'm so annoyed with how they behaved with their customers that I just am not interested in giving them my money right now. So I would, right now it's like, if I can drive it, I'll do it. But if I have to fly, I haven't
what
gotten
part
over
of
that
Texas?
Yet.
What part
let's
of
see. She's, I'm trying to remember. She's told me, and I'll
which
look it
one
up
of
really
the,
fast.
Which one of the Metroplex areas is she close to?
I'll have to check. I actually told her to friend request you on Facebook because
oh, cool.
I thought you would be a good contact for her. So you two might actually be friends. But let me see if I can.
Yeah, definitely send me her name. So I'll I get friend requests a lot, and I know these men are really princes, and they're lonely, you know.
And you're
newly
single.
Yeah.
Her town,
you know,
is. Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
Her town is Abilene.
Oh!
Texas.
You know what? There's an airport there, but I wouldn't fly into that. Now, what I would suggest, hop on Southwest Airlines, okay? Because if you remember, they're the ones that, you know, they kind of stood their ground. And, you know, they're awesome. You know, they're headquartered out of Fort Worth, and their home hub is at Dallas Love Field. I'm not far from Love Field, so if you need to go to Abilene, I don't mind taking you there or picking you up from there.
That is very kind of you, Hugh.
Abilene
if I can manage it, someday I will.
I've got family in Abilene. I think I've got family. You know what? The Duncans are like everywhere. You know, there were a lot of us. My grandfather's grandfather, his first wife was the daughter of, maybe it was his second wife. I don't remember, but was the daughter of Jim Beam. And so I don't remember, he had two wives. Like one died after they had like 10 or 12 kids. And then he got him a young woman. It may have been Susan Mary Beam may have been his second wife. And then he ended up with like 20 kids. And you know, everybody had a lot of kids back then. So, you know, anyway, the Duncans are kind of everywhere. My grandfather's father, when his parents died, got on a horse, because he was a young man, got on a horse and rode all the way to Texas in Kaufman County. And that would have been, I don't even think Texas was a state then. Because my grandfather was kind of old when I was born. You know, my dad was the baby, and he was the baby, and, you know, like, the youngest of the youngest, and, yeah. So.
Right. So you have really deep roots in Texas, then it sounds like, since even before Texas was a state.
Yeah. Oh, even before it was a part of Mexico. I mean, before it was a state, you know, I've got my grandmother's father and the entire family is from around San Antonio, and they were here back when it was Mexico. Mm. So while my genetics don't express it, my love for good Tex-Mex certainly does. And my ability to handle extremely, you know, people say, oh, no, it's really hot. And I just take a bite and I'm like, really? Huh. Is that supposed to sting? I don't know. Even if I'm dying on the inside, I've got to suck it up and be like, you know. But it's come in handy. I was in D.C. in 2019 in November for a gala, however you say it, those big parties, right. And like Bobby Kennedy Jr. was there, and Del Bigtree was there, and oh my gosh, it was amazing. You know, Bobby just, you know, had everybody turn their phones off, and he started talking, and he's like, I don't want to read about this on Instagram or see it on Facebook, what I have to say. Yeah, it was really, really amazing. You know, it was such a closed room. So that was really cool. Bring a coat.
Did you meet Kristen there?
I've known Kristen longer than that. I've known her I've known her since probably about 2015. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then
I know
she came.
Your friends.
You know what? Yeah. And I know I saw her in Atlanta in 2016. I saw her in Atlanta in 2016. DC in early 2017. Houston in about, I would say, today. 5 years ago today, when she was in Houston. Yeah. Yeah. I've known her for kind of a long time. I really like her. And her, you know, her daughter went to college here in the Dallas area. So, you know, yeah, I just love her. Like, I just love her. And when we were moving back from, when we were coming back from California, we didn't technically move there. We, you know, I've never technically lived anywhere but Texas my whole life. Well, we've had a Texas address and up until recently a subscription to Texas Monthly magazine. But, you know, we considered driving through Utah so we could see snow. But then procrastinated getting out of that beautiful home in Los Altos Hills that I will miss every day. If I could buy that home, I would. I would just buy it, and I would live there sometimes, but I would keep my home base in Dallas, Texas.
Nice. And, you know, just to be honest, snow is overrated. I grew up with it. Northern Utah, not too far from Christian, probably about an hour away, and we got tired of it, and so we moved to Southern Utah, and we barely, once in a great while, it'll snow, and it doesn't really stick, so, you know, I don't miss it, but I know over the summer, you would post things on your Facebook page about how hot it is and how you're actually enjoying it, and again, it's a place that you and I really share some similarities, just the love of the heat and the sun.
You know, I love it. You know, it hits about 108, 109, even more. And, you know, this year we were record-breaking, and then, you know, we had a front come through, and boom, it was like it's fall, you know, and we're still in the 90s during the day. But, yeah, you know, there's just something about the way you feel when the sun is so strong, you feel it in your bones. And being here in Dallas reminds me of when I was around 17, I guess I was about 18, 19, and I lived off of Greenville. Well, Greenville used to be like this massive party street. It's not as massive party anymore. Like Central Market came in, a bunch of dive bars closed down, but I used to live off of Greenville and, off of Lovers and Skillman, which Skillman is one street over from Greenville. And I remember walking a lot, and there was a Tom Thumb there, and I would walk, and I'd groceries, there was a Fud Records, there was a used CD store, and, you know, I really, just the way the pavement smells and the way that section of Dallas feels in the summer, I get really nostalgic, and it enlightens my soul. So that's such a powerful time in your life when you're 18, 19, you're kind of figuring out who you are, who you want to be, kind of doing things on your own, you know. Of course, being a Gen X kid, I already had my own apartment, was paying my car payments.
Yeah, you know, I relate mean, to that.
We had to grow up by the time we were in kindergarten. I mean, you know, our generation was not given mercy, and I think that's why we are so resistant to growing up, is because we didn't really have. We had a childhood, but my gosh, we all have responsibilities. And, you know, I was like 10, 11, babysitting my kindergarten brother after school, you know, for hours and hours while my parents worked. You know, Dad worked in Dallas. And, you know, it was pretty, you know, I called Mom when I got home, but didn't call for any other reason.
Yes,
she was working.
I relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were all.
I understand.
Yeah, you know, I had one friend, maybe two friends with a stay-at-home mom. That's it, you know?
Yeah. I do. I very well remember that. And divorce was a big thing then, too, for a lot of families, that it was now okay to have a divorce. And so I, amongst many of my peers, had divorced parents. And whereas that was not so much a thing for the boomer generation, their parents mostly stayed together through thick and thin, no matter how miserable anybody was, they stay together. And feels like the Gen X, that generation is when the real single mom, single parent scenario was playing out. And it just ends up having to grow up quickly.
My parents, my mother was a child of divorce back in the 50s and the 60s. And she said, I'll never do this to my kids. I'll just stick it out. And she's miserable. And hearing, you know, when your brother graduates, when y'all turn 18, I'm getting a divorce. Like, wow, Mom, thanks. Thanks for passive aggressively blaming me for your misery. So I got older and I'm like, no, like, so my first husband, it was just not working out. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Done. You know, I mean, there was some work into it, but yeah, I think I married too quick, and I was 25, but I was not old enough. Definitely not mature enough. So, yeah.
Right. But, you know, everything has worked out for you. It sounds like you're on your own again and feeling independent and free to be yourself and enjoying this next year of life. You're already celebrating with new hair and just feeling like you can conquer the world, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm moving into a personal number 7 this year, and so you're moving into a personal number 1. Is that right? Am I doing this right? I know I'm in a personal number 7 year.
So that would
this
make
year.
Me a 1 then in that case. That doesn't surprise me. My life path and everything is always a 1. All my numerology, for my name and my birthday and all my numerology is always a 1. That's my path.
Next year you'll have an 11, I think, because for a couple of decades we're not having 2s, we're having 11s.
Oh. That's
good.
Now, how do you come up with that? Like, what's the, is it just the calculator for that you get online and pop in
your
numbers?
9 + 2 + 8, that's 19, +2 + 0 + 2 + 2. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. I will take it. I'm always welcoming to all the good experiences and number sequences. They just really fascinate me. Go ahead.
Actually, you're in a number 7 as well. Let's see how this works, because I know I'm in a – oh, duh. Because we have the – 2022. It doesn't have anything to do with our birth year.
Okay.
That's why. Duh.
Oh.
Good morning.
Good
me.
To know.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. You and I are always going to be vibing on the same personal year. You know, it's funny. Quite a few of my friends are also in the same year cycle as I am. And I look at the life I am adapting to, the changes from, but he's a personal year behind me. So, you know, the year I'm like wanting to settle down and get serious about the family is the year he wants to shake things up and break it around. So, you know, there's a lot of really interesting things, but, you know, this is a personal year 7, but next year, being a personal year 8, is where the whatever you've been doing for the last 9 years, it really comes to fruition, and that's when you start to either make money, you make contacts, all the contacts and everything you do in your 7 year, you know, really, really, really makes a point. So either
like
it's good or it's bad. So whatever seeds you planted in the last 7 years, they start to, you know, if you've been networking and whatever you've been working towards is what you're going to come into fruition. You know, the last time I was in a cycle eight, I had that vaccine injury, I think. And that's when I started getting, I had that in September of 2013. And I mean, it changed my life. It threw me down a trajectory that I would not have been down if it were not for that happening. If I would have had an absolutely normal reaction, my life would have been different. I would have, you know, gotten them for my middle kid. Don't even know if she would have survived because I understand what I bring to the genetic table. You know, not entirely sure my third one would be around. If I were still alive, you know, if I hadn't had already succumbed to SADS, I would have lined up for this experiment. And because of the genetics I have, the people with the Ehlers-Danlos genes are extremely likely to die of SADS or just fall over and dead, like, quickly, you know. It's not anything, you know.
Right. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that about you. So do you feel like you're on the path of healing now after the injury? Do you feel like that's behind you?
I'm friends with her, by the way. We are friends. Yeah. Okay. Our mutual friends. So yeah. You know,
Good.
Am I on the path of healing? Well, I'm actually, you know, anytime that you overwhelm your immune system, it is the perfect conditions for your latent gene expression. So genes that may have already expressed when I was younger, which I'm pretty sure did because, you know, I mean, we were given like DTT and things like that, which, you know, kills more kids than it saves. But the DTP, I can really get metaphysical on that, and that's definitely a side story. You know, I had that Tdap, and after that, you know, I had low grade fever every day for, you know, like years, and it would go away, but it was passive aggressive, like, hey, it's fever today. It's 100.5 for like the 90th day in the row. You've got dishes in the sink. You know they're there, but you don't have the energy to do them. You can see them. You know they're there, but you're also too miserable to move. And, you know, that really beats you down over time in years. I can't, you know, I ended up, I guess it was 2017. I got into, I made fast friends with this, and she and I are still fabulous friends to this day. But, you know, she said, it sounds like you've got Lyme. And a very close friend to me said, you know, sounds like you're dealing with Epstein-Barr issues. Well, you know, I take lysine. And I thought, okay, probably not that. But, you know, I had a psychiatrist, and I was in couples counseling, of course. And he said he could have me tested everything at Parkland, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with me. Because obviously, I enjoy having 100.5 so that I don't have to do the dishes. I think that is the lamest thing. I would rather have the energy to do the dishes and do all the fun things, you know, because life can be really super fun. And I said, okay, cool. Will you test me for Epstein-Barr and Lyme? And he yelled at me and said, no, that would be playing into the narrative. So a year later, I saw my infectious disease doctor. It was $650 out of pocket.
Oh.
And what does he test me for? Hey, guess what I have? Not just Lyme and Epstein-Barr. Oh, no. Pernicious anemia, iron anemia, walking pneumonia, Bartonella, Babesia, like this long list of stuff. And I just looked at it and I was like, wow, yeah, I guess I was really tired because I was sleeping. You know, and that was after I thought I was just fine. I thought I was like fabulous, but apparently my brain was still swollen at that point. And I was pregnant, you know, with my third child. So, you know, all of my symptoms went into remission when I was pregnant with her. And, you know, when you're pregnant with a child, their stem cells help repair your body. And women, you know, women can be examined 20-something years after, you know, they've last given birth, and there's still stem cells from their children in their body. You know, and I really, everything went into remission. But before that, I had been using ivermectin for, well, mammals. I myself am a mammal, and I know how to read and adjust things for my weight and rub it on my upper arm and then go on with my life. I can't exactly tell anybody to do it because that would be bad, and I do not want a legal issue. But, you know, sometimes you need creative solutions for serious issues. And that really got me out of sleeping 20-hour days. And I started sleeping like 12-hour days. And then I just remember the first time I slept for 12 hours instead of 20 or 24. Sometimes I would sleep like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I would just sleep through days. Like if I took a shower, I'd need 2 days to recover from that. So I'd sleep through 48 hours. You know, waking maybe to get a drink of water or if I was hungry to eat. I lost a lot of weight during that time because I just couldn't stay awake to eat. I just slept all the time. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
so have you been back? Have you been back to be tested again to see where your levels are? And, I mean, what's it look like now for you?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure he retired, so I had all of that checked out before he retired. But I, you know, if you've got Lyme, there's a good chance you have dysautonomia and post-herpetic tachycardia syndrome. Well, it adds a little bit of something to it if you have hypermobility, and I do. And, it's a genetic diagnosis, Ehlers-Danlos, and I, you know what, a lot more people have it than actually have it. I know what my 23andMe report says, but I still need to go see a geneticist in Houston. But I've had so many tests at the cardiologist lately that, you know, I have this one test that was like it looked like a taser because it was. And I got shot 28 times on my foot, my toes, the back of my foot, my leg, my hand, which didn't hurt so much, and my arm. And I, not a fan. You know what, that was painful. I screamed the first time he shot me. And I was like, I don't like this. He said in the 23 years he's been doing it, no one has ever said they liked it.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, I know why. I mean, I just tased me 28 times. It, you know, I had that, and you know, stress tests, EKGs, echocardiograms. I mean, I had a 24-hour, oh my gosh, I wore a 24-hour monitor for my heart, 24-hour blood pressure cuff. Not fun. I woke up and my left arm was in pain because the blood pressure cuff was just not right. And, yeah. Yeah, definitely not a fan of that. So,
yeah, sounds painful. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there's also, you know, because if you have it, you don't have good, you don't make enough collagen or an adequate amount of, you know, whatever you need for skin elasticity. And in some of us, it can make us appear younger than we are. In others, it can make them appear older. But it can be helpful if, say, your eye skin is a little saggy and it's causing you problems with seeing at night. Like, I've gotten in car accidents because I couldn't see very well. So, okay, I meet with a plastic surgeon tomorrow morning. All right. Hey, maybe I'm in pain every day. I may hit a 6 or a 7 every day of my life. But you know what? I think I'm going to look fabulous. I think of Billy Crystal.
You won't look like you're in pain. You might be feeling it, but you won't look like
Yeah, right. Remember when Billy Crystal would do the Saturday Night Live skit, you know, you look marvelous. You're going to feel fabulous. To be fabulous. Mm-hmm. You got to look fabulous. Something like that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's the ticket. So, you know, but yeah, but you know, that really shaped me. Oh, you know what? That was total side story. So the whole thing about the hurricane in Houston. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed in a state. I knew it was going to hit Houston, and because I have a lot of people I love in Houston, I stayed awake for 4 days. I did not wake up. I did not go to sleep. I was in a meditative state. So, I mean, if I needed little naps, I could have little naps. But, you know, as the storm was reaching land, you know, I have a friend of mine that I said, you know, water's going to come close to your house, but it won't come in. And she sent me a picture, and it came 12 inches to her house. You know, I told another friend a week earlier, I said, you need to grab your things. She's like, oh, but we haven't been ordered anything. I'm like, no, just grab your things, grab your daddy's stuff, grab your mom's stuff. Fill your car, fill your husband's car, get the stuff you don't want to lose. Leave everything else behind. Her house wasn't there, you know. So, but while I was in this really deep state of focusing on where the landfall was going to be, and when I did have dreams right before that, I was having dreams of where it was going to hit. I was really, it was like I was becoming one with this hurricane. But when I was doing that, I remember it was the day we had the solar eclipse. And I was walking, and then the next thing I know, I was in the kitchen, and I had to grab the kitchen counter. And I saw riots. I saw cities burning. I saw people in the streets. And I saw perfectly normal people walking and falling down dead. And my first thought was... not in America. And then I said, oh my gosh, because I knew that the falling down dead, I knew that it would have something to do with the vaccination program.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would make it go too far. And once the people fully realized how corrupt the whole vaccinology cult is, they would either run towards it or run away from it. And what we're seeing right now is both. We're seeing those that are like, hey, I'm on my 85th booster. I'm pretty sure my DNA is the same. And I'm like, yeah, good luck with that, you know. You know, we're really seeing the effect. A lot of people are just, like, it died suddenly as a massive search result right now. People are just dying in their sleep. Adults are having SIDS. So maybe people are connecting where their SIDS was coming from for children. I do know that during these stay-in-place orders, there were issues when they put up all those 5G systems. When those stay-in-place were ordered, you know, oh goodness, I just lost track of my thoughts. But
you were saying the 5G, and when it was implemented, we're going that direction with the 5G for a moment.
Oh yeah, well, you know, it just seemed it was just wrong, you know, and I the whole narrative surrounding China and all their dead people. China is notorious for genocide, okay. And one of the big things that gets frowned upon by the other countries is just that, genocide. Nobody blinks an eye when millions of people die from a pandemic. But, you know, when China was disinfecting the streets and they were fogging things, you know, you don't know what they were spraying. The people were in hazmat suits that were operating the equipment. You don't know what they were spraying. They could have been genociding the whole area and gas chambering the people. I mean, it's really China, you know? They've got lots of human rights violations. And, you know, during the same place order, the actual number of SIDS cases in babies went down significantly. And that's the part of the stay in place that isn't spoken about. Like, hey, you know, for these few months, SIDS numbers, like, tanked. And then there was kind of a rebound when the kids started seeing the doctors again for those catch-up visits. However, during catch-up visits, the kids get more than normal. So it is causing an issue in these children because they're all of a sudden they're fine, they feel better, maybe they don't have the snotty noses like they did, and then boom, all of a sudden they're sick. They lost their words. They're not speaking. They're not walking anymore. Things change. And parents are noticing. And I have a feeling that it was going to get really, really bad. But by the time we have the next full solar eclipse, things will start to turn the other way. And we're already seeing that. We're seeing the parents that are questioning, like, hey, you know what? What's the point of this one? Why do we do this one? Is this really necessary? So, you know, the kids are going to be all right. I have a feeling that this is, you know, with that going on and having that vision and knowing what was going to happen, you know, I heard the words said to me a while back regarding the shot. It's like, you know, you didn't even know anything about it. You already had your mind made up about it. I just said, yeah, of course I did. I had this vision in 2017. So, you know, and this person obviously knew my visions come true. I predicted football games for them. So, you know, without saying who it is, I've made football games predictions for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with some detail.
So you think they would trust it, but obviously...
Yeah, like, I knew when my daughter-in-law was pregnant, like, it's just all these things, like, when they didn't tell anybody, and I'm, like, making jokes to my stepson, and they're just, like, looking at each other really, really weird. Like, how does she know? Yeah, because I do. Like, I will know these things. I will know these things. It doesn't matter. Like, you can try to hide it. My best to be quiet, but, you know, I have a friend of mine. I just love her to death, and my energy connected with hers immediately. And just like out of the blue, I texted her, and I'm like, hey, you're going to have a little boy next year. I'm like, you sure you're not thinking of my sister? I'm like, I don't know your sister. You know? And I'm like, yeah, you're going to have a boy.
Yeah.
And then one day I just randomly just said, hey, if you're not pregnant, right now you're about to be. And she wrote on her grocery list, buy a pregnancy test. So the next morning she bought a pregnancy test. She was at her sister's house. And sure enough, a very faint line came up, like so faint you would question it. She took it to her sister. She said, yeah, if you do another one tomorrow, it'll come in darker. Before she had any symptoms, before anything, I'm just like, hey, you're pregnant. Oh, it's a boy. It's a boy. And then,
yeah,
they sent me the sonogram of it being a boy. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you know,
that's
beautiful, beautiful boy. You know, and that gets into something really interesting, too. We've got this, right now, we are at the, right now, very exciting, because we have these starseed children come in. And, you know, in order to give birth to starseeds, you yourself are also a starseed. Starseeds come to starseed parents and so on. And, you know, when I was in that deep meditation over the children being born, the word Orion kept coming to me. And at first I thought, well, maybe I should suggest that name. But no, not it. I thought, you know, maybe we're going to get a wave of Orion star seeds. And yes, we actually are. They're the ones that you see. They've got, you can see them, you can recognize them, or, you know, they're the ones that come and they know they have a purpose. My youngest daughter is, she's one, and, you know, this little boy that I saw, was one. And, you know, these children are, a lot of the very younger ones, 2, 4, 5, you know, being born right now. So they come in and their eyes are on the darker spectrum, or where, like, let's say that the genetics determine they would have blue eyes, they would have the darker blue eyes. A lot of, they have their eyes are darker. That's one of the things. And if they are genetically where, of course, the genetics are going to come out and the pigment's going to win, as the case in my child, you know, her eyes are very, very dark. But there's something about these children, it's like they're very pragmatic. They're very, they're the ones that have a mission and a job to do on this planet, because, you know, the generation before us, they're like, you know, I'm going to, you know, they work their minimum wage job, and they have their house and their vacation home and, you know, their cars. And, you know, it's like, you know, that they had these grand lives, and they kind of, the science started to damage us, our generation, because, you know, our generation was was really, I say our generation, maybe in the 80s, that's when the emo music became a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, emo, The Cure, you know, all of that about how, you know, you know, when you start seeing the thimerosal schedule get heavier and heavier, and, you know, placing the mercury in our mouths, and, you know, by the time you get to Gen X, you know, you have, like, rise of Nirvana and Soundgarden and grunge, and all of a sudden people were acknowledging their mental health challenges. And if you know, you don't have to look far to find people we know within our generation that are, you know, they've been medicated for a gazillion years for anxiety or depression or something. But, you know, look at us at our baby photos, you know. Some of us are going to have big foreheads. Some of us are going to all of a sudden have, you know, the smiles that are incomplete with the eyes that are incomplete. You know, the signs of the stroke, the signs of permanent neurological damage.
And so do you feel like because of what's happening with all of this external damage from vaccines and other products like that, it is opening the way for other star seeds to come in? Is this sort of like the new implantation of the Earth through a different star seed race?
Yeah. Actually, well, I mean, they've already been coming here. They're from Orion, but they're definitely not of the negative Orion, which is, you know, where you've got your reptilians, and they are very much here. And that's, oh my goodness, that's more of a possession. They're using their energy to possess people. So, you know, you really have to guard your energy. And the one thing that I've noticed about, you know, these shots, you know, like, let's just look at the Tdap. It's cultivated in blood taken from a dying calf's heart. So basically that is the essence of death. What is the energetic imprint on that? And then it's being injected into a human. So all of a sudden, your frequency that you naturally vibrate at is lowered. And they're doing it to these children, very young, in utero, you know. And it's all an experiment because it's never been tested on pregnant women. But, you know, some of them are a little more evil than others, and it really lowers your energy frequency. And if you entertain negative energy frequencies long enough and you have the negative energy frequency within your body, you can get entities attaching to you. It's a very spiritual thing. So these kids that are coming in from Orion, either they come in and they get, like, ridiculously damaged or they just die, or they come in to the anti-vax parents. Because I see them all within the movement. I see them all within the movement. You know, it's like they're coming in like, it's either they're coming in like a kamikaze pilot or a fighter pilot. They're one or the other.
Wow.
You know, there is really interesting, and of course these can be the Orion star seeds that have been here for several incarnations. They're just going to start taking over because, you know, some of the others, say like the Palladians and the Arcturians and the Andromedans, are all starting to vibrate out, or they're getting into where they're in their last, some of their last incarnations. So it's really, really interesting. Now, the Palladians, or however it's said, have an affinity for Earth culture and really, really like it. So they're a little more hesitant to leave or stop incarnating on this insane planet because they genuinely enjoy Earth culture. I'm seeing some of the worst of the Earth culture in the last few years, and I'm like, you know what? I can't believe I signed up for this. This is hell. Oh, really? I signed up for this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I had visions of it happening, and I'm like, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, in this very uncomfortable position by myself in 68 degrees, coldness, basically naked and alone, and I'm thinking, you know, I had a vision this morning, this would happen. I should have left the house and avoided everything, you know.
Right.
I should have checked to see if Amazon made their delivery early so that it wouldn't cause a fight. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But we've got these beautiful Orion kids. And they're really here. They're like, they don't want to hear the backstory. They're like, you know what, I don't care who did it. I don't care why it's the way it is. We have to fix it, and we got to do it. So no one cares. Just do it. You know, very, very, they have this vast amount of wisdom, knowledge, very logical. Hey, this is really polluted. Let's use this and this so we can restore it. Okay, we need to use it. All right. Very fantastic. These are really interesting because you'll know them. When you know them, like my youngest, Abby, she's left-handed, like my dad was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, one day she's just eating with her left hand, and I'm like, oh, you're using your left hand. And without missing a beat, she just lifts up her other hand, and she goes, yeah, and this is my right one. And, you know, she just went on, she's just eating noodles. I'm like, okay. All right. I didn't know that until I was like 12 or 13, thanks to dyslexia, but that's okay. Their people see them as cold or maybe lacking emotions, but that's really, they're just really deep. You know, it's like still waters above the deep ocean. You know, there's something really deep and mysterious and beautiful. There's a lot of love, a lot of care. It's a little harder for them to open up, you know. I'm trying to think of the generation that's giving birth to these kids. I guess it's Gen Z. Is it the Gen Z and the later millennials? I just happened to be 41 when she was born.
Oh, wow. And, you know, it's the top of the hour, and I do need to go. I've got to head to my job, and so I'm going to have to jump off, but it looks like
absolutely.
You've got your next guest host on, awesome. Your next co-host. So, yeah, I'm going to log off, and thank you for that little rundown on what's going on with the current starseeds. So I'm going to keep my eyes open. Yes. As a kindergarten teacher, I've already pretty much identified the children in my class just from what you told me. So thank you.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, of course. And you know what? Really, you know what? You might want to have some interplanetary stuff. These kids are all going to like yoga too. Just FYI.
Oh yeah.
Keep them centered.
Oh yeah.
But you know
yoga
that.
With my students. Yes,
yeah.
I do. I definitely do yoga with my students, and they adore it. So it's been fun. But I'm going to head off, and it was fun visiting with you tonight. And so
very slight.
I'm sure we'll talk more on Facebook for sure. So happy birthday next week, and we'll talk some more.
Fantastic. Okay, well, thank you for coming on, Amanda. And, you know, I am... Candace, are you with us?
I am here. How are you, honey bunny?
Yay! Okay, so this is segment 2 of tonight's Proof Negative show. As always, I am your fabulous and fearless, usually co-host, but, you know, it's Proof's birthday, so I'm left at the wheel, and the possibilities are endless. So I think I named this segment too. It was Lightning and Storms.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Funny. I freaking love it.
Yes.
I love
it. So that's our segment. Segment two, Lightning and Storms. Boom.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh. Storms. Kind of like what they've got out in the ocean right now. It's probably going to turn into a hurricane next week.
Okay. You know what I can do? I'm going to look at just a map. You know what? I'm just going to type in the word hurricane. I'm going to look at
oh,
it.
Oh, no, dude. No, look at Invest 98.
Oh, I'm just going to tell you where the hurricane's going.
Oh, I know where Fiona's going. Yeah, I know where Fiona's going.
Oh, yeah, we know where Fiona's going. But we see Gaston. Which is actually a street here in central Dallas, close to downtown.
Yeah. Well, we got the one now that's right, like, around the Caribbean, and it's headed right for the Gulf.
Is that Fiona?
No, Fiona's going to be hooking it to a hard right and going up, like, 300 miles off the side of the East Coast.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Here,
I did predict one was going to hit Virginia, North Carolina this year. I did predict that.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I absolutely did. I predicted the Virginia, North Carolina area. Actually, I think one of my best friends is in that area. I think I'm going to text him and let him know that he can fly and... welcome.
I just put a picture in group chat for you, Leslie. It's that big red blob down there.
Okay,
right off
yeah,
the coast
the
of Latin America. Yeah. It's Invest 98.
Yeah,
we'll find out about
that.
A week.
I see it really hitting like the coaster. No, I don't. That may be the one I saw that was going to hit the Beaumont, Texas area.
They don't
that
know yet. It could hit Mexico.
One.
It could hit Texas. It could hit Florida.
Listen,
but
I know you, know, you remember when the one
on
that
it.
hit Alabama? Like, I called
yeah.
it in June. I called it in June.
Well,
and,
there's that big orange blob right off the coast of Africa right now. So, I mean, it's still time for one to hit where you're being a hit.
It's like I connect with them. I think it's my energy. I don't know. I always think it's like my chaos energy connects with this chaos energy of the hurricane. But it's like I just really focus and I get into this really deep meditative state. And ooh.
Yeah.
There it is.
It's so cool. I've been going outside and bonding with Fiona.
I think that's a good... You know what I predict?
What?
I predict a record number of girls named Fiona in 5 years.
No.
Being starting
Didn't
kindergarten in 5 years. Starting in
Didn't
kindergarten
that
in 5 years.
Happen?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, didn't it already happen with Shrek?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I'm seeing this X. I'm not impressed with the one that's where the X is. I'm not impressed with it. I think it might hit Costa Rica or Mexico or something. Really not.
Yeah,
I'm really unimpressed. Like tropical storm unimpressed.
That's the orange one, though. What do you think about the orange one?
Let me look.
The big old orange blob right off Africa.
Yeah, let me look at that. Let me see.
Look in group chat.
Oh, I know. I'm already there.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. So, but what I'm doing is I'm looking. I want to look at it. Like the, not just, okay. So, okay. Tropical depression. This sounds like, you know what? That sounds like it could have been a new wave band in like the 80s, maybe, like an emo.
I know, right?
Right?
I know.
Like, oh right. My God. You know, I just heard the new song. Did you hear? Tropical depression. It's like, you know, like a cross between the Beach Boys and like Bauhaus or something, you know? Yeah.
Or it could be some emo band from the 90s.
Like, everybody knows there's a place like Kokomo. If you want to go get away from it all, go to Missouri. It's misery. I don't know. I just made that up. Pretty awful, but, you know, a lot of really awful. let me see. Yeah, Tropical Depression. This is a song. I'm trying to remember. Their name is Diableros, and my dad introduced me to a song called Tropical Fish. The Tropical Pets. Actually, it's a really good song. Good bass line. All right. Let me see. What's this new tropical threat as of 6 hours ago? Someone in my ex-family has vast knowledge of weather systems. And every once in a while, just, you know, for giggles and super fun things, I might ask an opinion and then I'll quietly, actually loudly tell everybody else what I think I see, but I'm a little more accurate than the National Weather Service.
Okay, that would be super cool.
I am more accurate than National Weather Service. And that's not trying to be like whatever, it's just, you know, time isn't real. All things are happening simultaneously. So, you know, just like I can reach in the back for past memories, I can reach in the front for future memories.
Get me winning lotto numbers. No, I'm joking.
Actually, the other night I laid here and I just, couple of minutes, and I'm like, okay, I wrote these numbers down. I went, and out of five numbers, I hit two of them. I'm like, oh.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Nice.
But, you know, I made a deal. If I ever win something big, you know, I'm not keeping it. Like, it's going to go. Like, I'm going to make sure that, like, you know, I've got a house or, you know, maybe a high-rise condo in the city of my dreams. It's just the one I'm in right now, probably in a condo that in a high-rise building my dad helped build. But other than that, like, you know, there comes a point in time in your life when you just, you know, certain people, they have so much money that it doesn't matter what they do for the rest of their lives. Like, they could stop getting money and they still have too much money.
Oh, I know, right?
You know,
like
and
Bezos, all that, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I had a long time ago, almost like a lifetime ago, I was dating this German and he grew up he was very wealthy and from a wealthy family. went to boarding schools. Like, I answered the phone one time, and they, hello, hi, you called, blah, 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 phone. And he's unavailable to speak to you now. Can I send a message? Oh, I'm sorry, he's right here. And it's just so funny because it was the assistant to the King of Qatar. And he's like, oh, did you get a servant? I'm like, oh, my God, how funny.
Oh my God.
I honestly think that he probably just kept me around because I'm loud and Texan and everything's funny. And he grew up very, he said, I've spent my life very serious with my studies. Yes. I think it's time that we have fun. I want to have good fun. And I just remember he would be, like, sitting there, just, like, perfectly still, and just look over in total deadpan face, like, they are having a very good time. Yes, this is fun. This is a good time. Yes. And, you know, I just remember these things. Like, one time we were in an elevator, and he pressed all the buttons above our floor. And I'm like, what are you doing that for? He said, so is the elevator. We'll have a good time. Still laugh because he was German,
huge.
You know? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, he made a funny. I'm gonna laugh about this, and I still do because obviously that was his big attempt, and I was gonna support that. But yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, such a proper man. And so, oh, hey, wait. Computer models have it hitting the same area that I said, too. Huh.
Okay, that's cool. I want to hear.
Well, this is from the Orlando Sentinel. The X one right now has, yeah, Orlando Sentinel. I mean, you know, you see all these lines, but let me see. No, thank you. PayPal, no, thank you. Uber. This is a good follow if you want to get the latest computer forecast. Each line is a different possibility or model, and that's kind of where I saw it hitting. That looks like Costa Rica, Belize, Honduras, that kind of thing, and that's where it's hitting.
Oh, wow.
I've got friends on the other side of the island. I think they'll be okay. Unless this thing strengthens up to, like, Category 5, they're going to get a lot of water.
If it slows down and stops moving, then, yeah, it'll build up a lot of steam.
Yeah. Like the one that hit the base of Alabama. You know, I think I'm going to send them just a message like, hey, listen, keep it out. I do hurricane predictions. I kind of have a feeling maybe you won't get hit. Let's just pray no. But maybe it's going to miss y'all. But start securing things down.
We'll have plenty of warning wherever it hits. There'll be warning.
Of course, but, you know, I like to be first when I'm doing the warnings. Just saying, I like to be before the official warnings. You know, I called the South Carolina, North Carolina when it was still headed for Florida.
Oh, nice. I think I remember that one.
Yeah, and of course I called the one in Alabama, so every time a hurricane would be, like, major, I have pictures. I have some text messages that I took photos of that I have a friend of mine in Alabama, and she sent me a message. She said, hey, your dream about the Alabama hurricane sure was right. It hovered over the South and it is just destroyed. And a friend of mine in Gulf Shores, and he said the same thing. He said, yeah, it's all done. So, you know, I just, I don't know. It's just there's something about their energy that, yeah, that's going to hit Central America. Yeah. Yeah, I really do see that. I don't know what countries those are. Let me look this up. Countries? I can tell you where, like, city in Texas is. I used to know the countries in Central America because I would go to Costa Rica quite a bit.
Nice. Costa Rica is beautiful.
My very, 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 well, my, I can't even, I don't know what to describe her. Since we met, we've been inseparable. And that was 20-something years ago. We text every day, call every day, you know, all of that. And, you know, her father has a, her biological father has a foundation there. You know what? I'm going to message him, too. Although I do see it hitting more in, like, the Guatemala, like, the Belize, Honduras area. And, Yeah, I think it's going to hit kind of along there.
We shall see. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Even that part of Mexico that sticks out. Or I could be totally wrong. This could be the one that hits. This could be the one that hits the part of Texas Gulf that's close to the part next to Louisiana, and then we get like the Cajun Army and the Texas Army, and they work together. And are the Texas Guard and the Cajun Army, man, when they collaborate, and they do, you know, every time there's a hurricane in either state, right there, and they are they are on it yesterday, and the residents of Texas, Louisiana, same way, and then the government comes in about a week or two and tries to take the credit, but.
Nah, the Cajun Navy's great, dude. I freaking love those guys.
Yes. Yes.
They do great things. I think that the Red One right now is going to go up into the Gulf. I think it's either going to hit Texas, maybe Louisiana. I think the Orange went off the coast of Africa. That's going to hit Florida.
I don't see... Actually, I see maybe the upper coast. I really will have to – I have not focused on it this year because my own life has been so freaking chaotic. I'm trying to figure that out. It's like I want to figure it out, but I don't want to because it involves a lot of painful reflections and meditations, and I'm alone, and I'm hating it, and I feel like I'm dealing with Satan, and I don't know, but I'm not, absolutely, I am not. This person just happens to have a very, very negative family influence, and that negative family influence personality trait is within this person very deep in within his son very deep, and that's really not being very good. But I do think that when the patriarch, when he finally has had enough boosters and is no longer in the same dimension, I do feel that it will make the burden of stress lighter for the people affected by this energy. That is a really nice way for saying, you know what, I think everybody's attitude is going to be completely different when they're not being surrounded by such negativity. It's a nice way to say, well, you know, he kicks the bucket. But, you know, I mean, of course, I don't wish that on anyone, but get visions of those things, too. And I usually can look at people, and if they've already got something wrong with them, I can look at them, and I give accurate, usually extremely accurate, like within, almost within hours sometimes. So that, I feel that my my own personal relationship with the person I'm having difficulties with will be on the mend by Christmas.
I'm sorry you're going through it, though. It's,
you know what, though? It's hell. Like, the stuff that I haven't even told people that I've gone through. You know what, though? It has done some things within me that has raised me to be better. And it has put me in situations and places that I normally wouldn't be. So, for example, Rebecca Hardy, the current president of, and I hope forever president of Texans for Vaccine Choice. She took over after, it's like a divorce. It's like a best friend. And then all of a sudden it was like, what the hell just happened? You know, there's no explanation, nothing, you know, and it's kind of like a divorce going on within her too. And, you know, I start reading these things and watching videos on how to maneuver skillfully through a variety of personality traits. Very, sometimes can be very specific, and I share some of this. But I just started like, hey, listen, you just went through a divorce. Here, watch this. This seems applicable. And so there was a meeting. She was our guest last week, last Tuesday. So there was a Dr. McCullough was going to speak in. Okay, are you there? I think I just accidentally
Muted I'm here.
Me. Okay, yeah, I muted me for a minute. So anyway, Dr. Peter McCullough was going to be speaking like my hometown. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't we write up there together? We've got 5 years of coffee that we haven't, you know, that we were going to have, but we never did. So let's just do this. And, you know, so we met, and I drove the rest of the way because I know it pretty well, and I like driving in construction areas and stuff. So we had a blast. It was just an absolute blast. And I met.
I know, I was so jealous. It was incredible that you got to go.
Yes. So Dr. Peter McCullough, I met him, and he said, look at me. He says, you know, you've got a big personality. I expect big things. And that hits me because I always had to limit the scope of my personality and my very natural extrovert self so much that I was borderline introvert. And I'm like a natural extrovert, very much so. I had to temper my energy so much that, you know, if I had even gone to this, which I wouldn't have, but I wouldn't have been so me. And you know, I'd blast, you know, we laughed, we cried, had an awkward hug. She's crying and I go in to give her a hug and it's like, it's just funny. So, you know, of course now we have like, you know, always talk about awkward hugs, but it's just so funny. You know, and it just gave us something to laugh about. And and we had a blast, and so then I met with her again because our Dallas County judge, you know, when same place orders are going on. It's really hard to find movers. And we were leasing an overpriced home in Lakewood for $4,000 a month. Was it worth it? No. It had a big pool in the back, but, you know, the house had mold and black mold that they didn't even paint over. They just wiped it off. And, I mean, it was just horrible. Like, you know, the woman that, the mother of the woman we were leasing from, because the words were extreme. I mean, everything was extremely, like, rude and pointed and horrible and, you know, well, you should be able to get movers. And we just needed a few more days. Like, we just needed a couple of days. But we had to pay extra, and it was really awful, and I kind of blogged about it. So if you actually, you know what, I'm not saying anymore, but if anyone tries to search for that residence, they're going to learn a little bit. But anyway, so I kept direct tweeting because what she was doing was illegal. She was coming into the house unannounced without knocking. She pushed me, which is
a
misdemeanor that is illegal. She pushed me out of her way. Like, she just shoulder pushed me, you know. You can actually go to jail for that. So, yeah, I could have gone after her for doing that. And, in fact, she had me so upset that the ambulance came and took my because I had been really sick, and that's why we were running late. It's probably from all that mold. But we were really behind because I was really sick. And so they did a check on me, and my blood pressure was insane.
Oh,
and,
no.
And so I was, like, direct tweeting, like, the county judge, and he's ignoring. But he's the one enforcing the mask in the same place. And I'm like, no, I don't care who's running against this guy. You know, the ghost of Captain Kangaroo, who, by the way, is from Dallas. His son, Gibby Haynes, was in the Butthole Surfers band. Jen Escher,
oh, right on.
I saw them open for Pearl Jam in Denton, Texas. The drummer puts a big Texas flag on his drums, and everybody here loves that. I'm not sure everybody goes nuts on that anywhere else, but here, big deal. So, I went to listen to the person that's speaking, that's running against the judge, and I really like her. You know, I'm going to have her on at some point, and, you know, I really like her, and I think I'm going to volunteer for this. But, you know, when she gets elected, and I really want to say the word win because I want a future pace this one, but she will have, how cool is this? Dr. Peter McCullough, Dallas County Medical Expert.
Oh, wow.
Freaking phenomenal or what?
That is phenomenal. I love it.
But I absolutely want to help with this campaign. You know, I've got, I can sit and I can talk. And
right.
Sometimes that's really what you need is someone that's a little too enthusiastic to be where they are. So, you know, I think that's going to be me. So.
Yeah, I think it's great. And it'll get you out of your head for a while, you know what I mean?
You know, that's exactly right. I'm going to get to meet new people. And, you know, as I'm working on my real estate license and other things, it's, you know, basically it's just a really wonderful way to it's a really good way to network because why not? I love people. I love talking and I love sitting. You know what? it's like if I could have a dream job, I would be doing those things.
Nice.
So, yeah, you know, yeah, actually, I think I'll head up there maybe in the next few days. Head up to the where the campaign headquarters is. It's not too far. Yeah, I need out of the house.
When are you coming to Florida?
I think probably around Christmas. My sister and I spend Christmas together, then I'll be coming to Florida.
I love it. What part?
I think I want to drive because, you know, I have people I love all over Florida that I really want to see. And, you know, I drove to Florida last December. I spent a month in Florida going, you know, bouncing back and forth from, like, the Fort Lauderdale area to, to the Orlando area. And then to the Sarasota area. I mean, like, I made the triangle, and it was fabulous.
That's awesome. It's a really nice drive from Texas down here, too.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely 2-3 days.
I loved it. Yeah, when we drove out, it was nice.
Yeah.
I
know that when I pulled in to get gasoline for the first time in Florida, felt like freedom, and there was like THC products being sold at that gas station, and I'm like, whoa, a bunch of different Delta strains, and I'm thinking, you know,
yeah,
this is a good idea.
I think the FDA's wanting to cut Delta out of the equation.
I think they do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they've been talking about it.
Okay.
We just need to legalize it federally.
You know, the only reason why it's not legal at this point on a federal level is because the cancer industry is so massive.
Because I couldn't hear you. What?
Well, the cancer industry is so massively huge. I just got a message saying to talk about September 24th. Oh, my gosh. We have a solar storm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I just had an entire revelation right now.
Share.
Okay.
What?
Okay, right now we're seeing, okay, because we've, oh my gosh, I'm going to start channeling. I'm going to send my friend. Let me send a friend this link. My very best friend. She's also in Florida, and I love her dearly. Okay, cool. Yeah, one day I just sat in her on her bed and just channeled for her. I just channeled past life stuff for her. And it was really, really neat. It's really, really awesome. So let me see. Let me get a better link. Once I do this, I'm about to go into a place. I'll brace myself down a little bit, and then I narrow my eyes, and then I'll see things to the left of my eye.
Okay.
Okay.
This is about to get interesting.
Okay, we have there's a solar storm coming on September 24th, and we've already been feeling this energy. If you notice, people are starting to feel restless lately. It's being blamed on a lot of things, like, okay, we've been cooped up too long. Right now, people are just over it. They don't want to be locked down anymore. They don't want to wear the masks. The ones that like to wear the masks, and they like the pharmaceutical injections, which is a side story that we'll talk about, because it does lower your vibrational energy. And I do believe that for people that are not protective of their energy, it can cause very definitely cause demonic possession. And you're seeing that in people that have had, like, number four, number five. It's like they're just not themselves anymore. Now, there's some that are really good protecting their energy, but the ones that are not, especially if they're negative to begin with, they are. I'm seeing a large, dark entity, like, engulfing people. And you know, it seems like people are starting to zombie, to become a little less. The little sparks and bursts of light and energy that make us who we are as people, neat little unique quirks are going away in those that are on 4, 5, 6, 27, whatever they are. If they don't die, it's like they are harboring their energy, especially if they're watching, if they're glued to network TV, which a lot of people are. It keeps them in a perpetual state of fear, which lowers your energy level. But if you're already in a perpetual state of fear, and then you get the magic injections, your vibrational energy is very low. And it does allow room for entities. And those are, you know, anytime there's a possession, you know, there's it's like two people cohabitating, fighting for that level, for that energy within one body and one soul. It's, wow. We're going to see a lot more deaths. Right up, people right now I see are like jumping like popcorn. Like just, they're just.
Oh, yeah. It's been that way for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, that's because of the solar flares. Well, the 25th is a new moon. And between the solar flares and the new moon on the 25th in Libra.
And we've got six planets in retrograde right now.
Yes, we do. It's not the time to sign anything. You know what? I'm being told to say, do not sign anything. Do not finalize anything right now, because the world and the life that you know right now, I think this is for everybody. What we know, what our reality is right now, in 6 months, it will not be the same. So if we could take a photo image of the life we have right now.
Yeah.
It will be different in 6 months. And honestly,
I definitely believe
that. So how it is different is entirely up to the individual. It depends on the energies that you embrace in this time right now. If you're going to continually lower your vibrational energy, surround yourself with negativity, surround yourself with the negative thoughts, actions, intentions, people that would intend and do harm on others, continue to drop down into their own little sub-world of hell. However, those with the positive intentions, thoughts, ideas, really will be able to fly above the storm. You know how an airplane can fly above a storm?
Yeah.
Either that or you just fly through it. But you're not going to be flying under it and ending up at the bottom of the ocean. That's the vision I'm getting. But right now, wow, we've got a lot going on. Just know this is not a time to make permanent decisions for the future. This is a time to be flexible.
Yeah.
I want to broad stroke this to like everybody listening. I know this is for somebody very, if this feels like this message is for you, then it is. Delay signing that agreement, delay buying that. Somebody listening is looking at a large piece of property. I want to say it's got like ivory or yellow brick, like on land, bunch of land. I know this is very vague, but somebody listening is looking at this house. Don't buy the home. No. Know that. Just say no. Just say no. And if this is you, I want to see you in my DMs because I want to know. But I feel this is, oh my gosh, it's like a hurricane for us too. We're getting the storms. Getting rain. But what we're about to experience in the next few days is about to just really kind of mess us up. And it's okay. Because a lot of people are feeling really uncomfortable where they are because the molds that they had made for them or that they had made for themselves no longer fit. And they are bursting out of those molds. And because of what's going on planetary and I just read about what's going on with the sun. Like, I literally just read about that. And with it being right there, it's a new moon. And, you know, anytime the sun has crazy activity, it's going to affect the people. And I'm getting tied into my own, you know. Like, so basically we're bursting out of these molds that were made for us because some of us have been walking on eggshells. This is going to resonate with a lot of people. Walking on eggshells, trying to maintain what is expected of them, not really paying attention to what they need, putting that on the back burner, but what they need is about to be on the forefront. So if this is you, as hard as it is, embrace that change that you've been going through. I myself am going through it, and I know a lot of other people are going through it. I've got some very close friends of mine, and we are, like, really helping each other through this, like, calling. And I've got some friends that I text, and I'm, like, just, like, what the hell? This is confusing me. But right now we're seeing instead of people uniting – based on class or color or any of the other bullshit social constructs that they would normally unite under. People are uniting based on frequency and vibrations that they set forth. And, you know, those that are normally at a very high vibration are extremely irritating to those at a low vibration. So the lower the vibration, the more irritating the higher vibration people are. They're like fingernails on a chalkboard. But, you know, the people at the high vibratory level really don't care because it feels good to raise your frequency. And right now we are starting to see a shift. There are some that have chosen to remain in the 3D dimension cycle, which we know that there's dimensional shifts going on right now.
Right.
And the more negative a person is or injects or surrounds themselves with, the more they will stay in the 3D vacuum. 4D is being skipped over. The higher you vibrate and resonate and glow, the more you will be rising above all of that BS, and you're going to start getting into the fifth dimension, and that's really a lot better than this third dimension slave cycle. See, there's some serious connotations with accepting the mark, because they will stay within the they don't realize that they're the whole enslavement that they have brought upon themselves and their generations. They don't see it. Oh my God, I do, and I see it right now. I've been talking about cryptocurrency. That requires child labor in mining.
Mine the lithium for the batteries and the silicon for the chips and everything.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
If you're investing in that, you're investing in child labor, you're investing in negativity, you might as well, that's human enslavement. So,
Not only that, but I mean, come on, lithium mines, mm-hmm. same thing. So
yeah.
They want to go electric car. I mean, oh, you're lithium batteries. It takes a lithium mine, and yeah, that's basically slave labor too.
Yeah, it is. And you know, so some of the like chocolate, like Hershey chocolate, I'm seeing that. I'm actually seeing the children being enslaved. Whatever you do. I was listening to Dr. Fleming speak. I paid a lot of money to see him. Actually, I didn't pay a lot of money. My supportive former person paid a lot of money for me to see Dr. Fleming. And he said that if you have had this technology inserted within you, just use ivermectin because it strengthens the cell walls, and over time it will not be able to replicate itself inside your body. And once it is unable to replicate, it eventually burns itself out. And there's people that took it because of their job and they want it out of their body. Well, there you go. Let me see.
I'm sorry. I have no sympathy at all. I really don't.
The All-Day Chemist is in India, and you can order it because it's sold over the counter there. It's like Benadryl is here. Actually, you have to be 18 to buy Benadryl in Texas. Kind of crazy to me. I take a lot of Benadryl in my life so I can sleep. Basically what is going to be going on because of these solar flares and because of everything that's going on right now where the planets are, take your goals. If you've been put in some setbacks and you are having to reevaluate your life and where you are, there is no limit to what you can achieve and what your potential is. Set your expectations high and demand that of yourself. Ow. Man, I really don't want to do that, but I have to follow
hard.
My advice. Yeah, that's hard. You know,
it's really hard.
That's like committing to meditation every day, which we really all need to be doing anyway.
Dude, I'm
really
about to do the 30-day meditation challenge again.
Are you? You know what? I should probably throw some of my, because I do have posts from certain days. Like today is one of them, like in my past where I put meditations as my statuses.
You
know,
we should do it October 1st. October 1st, we need to do a 31-day meditation challenge.
You know what? A meditation and gratitude challenge. You know what? A meditation and gratitude challenge. Let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, you know what? It's part of lightning and storm. Let's do it. October 1st, we're doing it.
Yeah, it is mind-blowing. I've done 30 days of meditation before, and it is just, wow, the self-awareness.
It's how I found my daughter in Mississippi. I would meditate for hours every day. She was with her biological father. I found her.
It's nice. It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is, because that's how I learned. I taught myself to remote view.
I've always wanted to learn that.
You know what? Hey, meditation, you can do it. You can do it. We all have this within us. You just have to unlock it. It's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
And I was doing 15 minutes a day, 15 minutes meditating a day, and the breakthroughs I made in time was incredible.
I was doing 4, 6, 12 hours. There are days I would wake up and I wouldn't stop. I would literally lay there and meditate until I went to sleep.
Nice.
Because I wanted to find my daughter.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll meditate
that
she starts being, maybe I'll just start meditating peace for her because she's being really mean to me right now. All right. So, you know, things in our life are about to start resetting for a lot of us. We're going through a lot of transitions, a lot of changes. You know, a lot of people are waking up. The injury or the genetic juice, the genetic Kool-Aid, the injury table has been released. We know that it is vastly underreported by up to 100%. There's some estimates that around 37%, you can safely assume it's 30% higher than what it's being reported. There has been absolutely zero. They say, oh, no, it doesn't change your DNA. There's no science to say that. It's just marketing. They're marketing. You know, we're about to start hitting some serious, if we're not already in a very serious part of internal reflection of who we've been and who we want to be, about to come upon us. You can't run from yourself. So if you're running from yourself, you're going to have to stop running from yourself.
Pluto's going to take care of that, dude.
Yeah. I mean, we are right there. You know, things are about to, some of the old traditional things that we see that have been so powerful, they're on the verge of collapsing. It's like a self-destruct mode. They put themselves in this by pushing an untested thing on everybody and making it conditional. Like, do you want your job? If you want your job, you know, you want to eat, you want to pay for your house payments, you want to keep your kids in school, you want to have a house, you want to have a car, you want to sleep on the streets. What do you want to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I think if everybody would have banded together, it would have been so overwhelming.
you know what? But we weren't ready yet because people didn't there wasn't a SADS term. There wasn't the term died suddenly. And there are people that, those that wake up and see it, they see it. But the ones that don't, they're like on genetic juice number 4, and they're like, oh, everybody's fine just because my sister got the genetic juice and died a few days later. It's not related. Everybody's got heart problems right now. It's, you know.
I know.
Syndrome
is actually a thing.
And, you know, and in heart, it's always been a thing, but now it's just pronounced. And these little kids, these kids with permanent heart damage, which is being made, it's like, oh, yeah, they've got myocarditis, no big deal. Like, you know what? It is a big deal because there's a massive percentage that's going to be dead in 5 years.
Exactly, and it's sad. It's so sad.
It is. It's really sad. We're watching it now. We're watching people die off. You know, I had a friend of mine say something like, I got the genetic shot. I'm aware of Tuskegee. I've had both mine. My wife has had both hers. My cousins have had all theirs. All my friends have had theirs, and we're all just fine. Every other day, someone is like, my cousin died in her sleep. I can't believe my friend's dying. Everybody's dying. And I'm like, yeah. Because your culture, people around you, all join the cult without knowing it. And it's a death cult.
I know. Oh, yeah.
So in the next 7 years, by the time we are done with this upcoming Saturn cycle, we're going to have the data. We're going to have the numbers. There's going to be a lot of stuff people know. And this is not from me. This is coming through me. Those that have taken the genetic juice 4 or 5 times, they won't be around to see the data in 7 years. And that's sad. You know?
I know.
It's time to write the letters. Hey, listen, I love you. Hugs, toodles, you know. It's really sad. I've already lost a few of my friends. And, of course, they're being blamed on other things because that's what they do. But
yeah,
it's getting harder and harder to hide the data. It's getting harder. And they themselves are starting to hide.
Yeah, and the government won't own it for 50 more years. They'll wait until the last generation alive can sue. Then when that generation's gone, they'll fully release the data. And then we'll find out the truth.
Actually, we're going to find out in about 7 years. Because the truth is larger. The energy of the truth is greater than the energy of the entities trying to suppress it. And I do say entities, but these people are absolutely, without a doubt, possessed.
I hope.
Yeah, in about 7 years. You know, when I see anything past 2024, it is, things are going the other way. You know, instead of being the way it has been, things are going the other way.
I so hope you're right.
Yeah, because when I had that vision, I knew that by the time we had the next full solar eclipse, things would go the other way because, you know, I saw people dying and then, you know, boom, it would be so large and so disastrous that it would wake people up. And that's where we are. And that's okay. Because, you know, everything has to have a cycle and a turn. And, the pendulum is going to swing the other way. And in 7 years, we're going to have all the data. I know anytime I think of life around 2035, I see like, or maybe it's, I don't know, 2024. But when I think around 2035, it's a scene in Aliens when Ripley's standing next to Newt. In True Story, I almost, one of the names I was really liking, she ended up being Abby, but I liked the name Ellen Ripley. I mean, freaking phenomenal lead female character. But Ripley and Newt standing there, there's like, you know, the ship, the spaceship has just crashed, and the guy's like, game over, man, game over. And they're like on this terrain. You know, I really see that we are going to lose a lot of people, and it's going to be a lot of people dying in the next 10, and actually in the next 7. There'll be a lot of people dying. You know, we have children being born to women that have taken part of the experiment. I know when they did this experiment in cattle, they had to kill all calves that were born because they were infecting the herd. It would be cruel to do that to these beautiful baby children. So we're going to have to keep our resonance high. We're going to have to use ivermectin to keep these spike things under control, because they are like, from everyone that allows the genetic juice to be injected inside them, they are shedding it. You got to vibrate up. I see what we're about to have in the next 7. It's going to be some revolutions. I'm being told that we're already in one world government, that we're already there. And, you know, understand that time isn't real anyway. It's just a linear concept. To help us process the information we're given in our dimension. But there will be revolutions and awakenings, and instead of people fighting against each other, they will be fighting against the control. And they will win, because the spirit of those that will be here in 10 years is massive large. You know, they're the ones that rejected, that declined the genetic juice, or they took the genetic juice, and they're meditating. Because you can meditate, and you can actually change your own cells. You can do amazing. I've regrown bones using meditation. And I say this, and I'm like, oh, looking at these things I struggle with medically, and I should probably confront them with meditation. But you know, I do feel that your body has the ability to override the genetic Kool-Aid that's been inserted, because it's not of nature. It's laboratory created, and your body can actually reject that. So definitely one of the meditations will be for the people that have had the genetic Kool-Aid. You know, just imagine your body, literally just imagine it shrinking and disappearing, or, you know, exiting, you know.
Right.
A lot of really mental things you can do, but you know, like maybe they all hang out together and then drift off in a boat far away or something like that. You know, you can imagine I used imaging when I was regrowing my pelvis, and I would imagine that break in my pelvis. And I would lay in bed for 5-10 hours a day, like I did when my daughter was missing, when she was gone. But I lay there and I would fill in each little tiny piece of my pelvis in my mind that was broken. And I did that. And I would imagine myself walking because I couldn't walk. I'd imagine myself walking. So, you know, if you've got the genetic Kool-Aid, I want you to, when you're laying in bed at night, you let your body relax and all that stuff, because I really can't say it because it would be really terrible if somebody's listening to this while they're driving. Imagine your body, like your cells, disabling them, engulfing them, and disabling them, and overpowering them. And or imagine them just ceasing to be. Like they're working, but then they stop. And every day, focus on that. And focus on bringing your cells and your body back into alignment where it was before you were strong-armed and coerced into accepting the genetic juice. Wow. I think it's very important for those of us that have gotten the wake-up calls or that have had the massive life changes. Start setting your intentions every day. If you're older, you know, some of us enjoy using pen and paper and cursive handwriting. And that's kind of how I do things. But start journaling, start writing what you need to get done for that day and hold yourself accountable. And if you have a hard time holding yourself accountable, have a good friend of yours hold you accountable. Somebody that vibes along with you, that is in the same where you are and gets it and understands it. Right now we're seeing a lot of people really just falling away because, you know, soul contracts are being broken right now. You know, a lot of soul contracts are either being broken or reinforced right now. So there are people that we're drawn to that we have such an amazing and harmonious synergy with them that we can expect to have them, should we choose to come back, we can expect them to be with us. But there's a lot of people going through divorces right now. And
oh, yeah.
The energies of the two divorcing that were once so entwined are so different. Are you there? Uh-oh. Well, I think it's just me until she calls in again. So we love Candace, but right now we've got people that are going through divorces. And, you know, a lot of times these are people that we were married to because we met them and our souls recognize them. My first husband, absolutely, my soul recognized him. And, you know, it's hard because you're not just mourning them for this time around. You're mourning them for every lifetime you've ever had to lose them, or all of the past relationships you've had with them in these soul contracts and these soul bonds. You're feeling the grief of centuries and, you know, hundreds of years of, you know, heartbreak with them, whether you stayed married to them for your lifetime and perhaps you outlived them, they outlived you, or, you know, tragedies, or, you know, just life events that happen that cause deep pain within our soul, we feel the same pain, but we feel the pain of each one. But this is the, right now, a lot of soul contracts are being broken, and people that say we've incarnate, because we usually incarnate within the same cycle, and we stick to the same people, and you'll notice that there are some people that you meet, and from day one, you know them. Not just know them, but you know little things about them, like how they like their tea, or if they drink tea, or, you know, if they've got a sweet tooth, or just little things you have instinctively that you know about them. Because we're all connected. And it's a really beautiful connection we have with each other. This is really, really important, because this is your last time with that person. This is your last cycle with them. And, you know, my first husband is dead. And through the course of the last year, and some before that, I think about how I behaved towards him at the end of our relationship. And I'm ashamed, because I wasn't very nice. I could have been nicer. I could have been better. Maybe he wasn't good. Maybe he did some really terrible things to me. But that didn't give me permission to be an absolute asshole to him. And I could have been better. I do not have peace with how he died. The phone rang on Christmas Day, and it was him. My daughter and I looked at the phone. The last time she'd spoken to him, he was a woman. She's the reason why he lost his rights to see her, to see his daughter. And I asked my daughter if she wanted to answer the phone. But I was kind of an asshole. I was like, do you really? And I talked to him. We're almost at 2 years, because we were gone for 2 years of no contact, because we were already at a year and a half of no contact and 2 years in the child support, and she was going to get adopted by adopted or whatever, but that still didn't happen. But I regret not answering the phone. I regret not giving him the ability to try and redeem himself to her. And he died alone. And, you know, the wife he was married to gave him a domestic violence charge. Listen, I fought with the man. I can be pretty ridiculous when I'm, you know, PMSing, which doesn't happen anymore. But there were times that I was just really mean to him, and he never laid a hand on me. So, you know, this woman he married just had like 7 or 8 marriages, and like every one of them, there's a domestic violence charge against every one of them. Pattern. And anyway, she gave him hepatitis C, and he drank himself to death. And I understand. I get it. And I don't fault him for it. He couldn't do the job he loved because he had that charge on his past. He didn't see his daughter that he loved. Thought he had another daughter. But then at some point, he thought it wasn't his. Thought she wasn't his. And so he died of a broken heart. I mean, he had cirrhosis, hep C. He drank himself to death. And he knew he knew exactly what he was doing. I myself have so many regrets that I contributed to that. And if I could do things over, I would do things differently. Roger Waters, the lead singer of Pink Floyd, has a quote, and it's not verbatim, but you know, when you're young, time in your life when you do things that you regret for the rest of it. And I think that's a very, serious quote, and it means a lot. I have a lot of regrets with how I treated him. And in my current situation, I have 1,000 regrets with how I treated him and his excitement with me and my cynicism. And I could have been better. That's the thing. I could have been better. There's a lot of things that bothered me that either I should have let go or I should have let him go. But I didn't either. So, you know, as hard as this experience is on me personally, I'm owning all the things that I did create the issues. And right now we're seeing a lot of people breaking out of things. Now, I had my own reasons for not doing things right, and, you know, having brain infection and inflammation doesn't help. You know, ignoring your problems and just being pissy and, you know, that's my own issue. And that's for me to spend the rest of my life regretting. I could have been better, because there were times when he was 100% and I was caught up in some things from long ago. So you live, you learn, and each day is a new opportunity to challenge yourself to be better than you were the day before. We're going on, there's a lot of time right now. We're all, there's a lot of us that are being forced in position. We're extremely uncomfortable. And it's forcing us to grow and change and use this time wisely. Look, time of great growth and of harnessing who you want to be. Because if you look back and you see this as an opportunity wasted, I'll share a personal story because, you know, until Candace comes back, if she's able to, it's just us for the next 30 minutes. So when I was 23, I had my heart broken. I man much older than me. 10 years older than me. And, you know, when I was in high school, a very close friend of mine got killed in a car accident. He was the only boy, and I have a very small town, only boy that I ever really, my entire childhood, ever really crushed on. I say that he's the only one that I ever, like, went with, you know, to use a term we all use. And he got killed my junior year of high school, and, you know, kind of spiraled and got into the rave scene. You know, it made me who I am today. But, so I dated this man who's much older. And when we broke up, I stayed. I drank. I drank nonstop. I dove into drugs head first. I really was on a self-destruct pattern. And for so many people, it's easy to get caught in the self-destruct cycle. And if you see that within yourself right now, reach out, get some help. If you need to get on medication, listen, as much as I cannot stand the pharmaceutical industry, if they have a product that can help you get from point A to point B, because as somebody that has been in the depths of hell, and, you know, I could have, like, you know, had my hair analyzed and taken a ridiculous amount of, you know, certain vitamins and chelated cement. But you know what? Life happens fast. And sometimes you don't have time to wait and be patient with the process. Sometimes you just have to do things now. I'm on antidepressants, and I don't care because it made my life tolerable for all the changes I'm going through right now. So when I look at myself when I was very young going through that, and I look at that and I think, I didn't grow at all. I did nothing to keep myself in a cycle of negativity. I ended up, things were just not good. But then in 2007, I experienced a break. I was in a situation where my daughter was living with her father, and I knew where they were, by the way. He had remarried, and I loved his new wife. And she and I are still friends to this day. But I remarried. I was alone, and I had rented this little 2-bedroom duplex, and there was, the middle room was really small, but it was dark, and I could sleep well in there. It was quiet, and, you know, it wasn't so sunny, and, you know, I had this neat little setup, and I loved living there, and I felt a resonance within myself and living there. And while I was going through this in 2007 all the way to 2008, it was summer of 2007, it was around June to February 2008, I worked on me. I meditated. I prayed. I fasted. And as I started to heal the wounds of rejection, I started doing things to challenge my mind. So I was learning how to walk on fire. It was a very, very mental challenge, because the people that do walk on fire, they manage to not get harmed by the fire they walk on. And I was really working towards leveling up mentally. That was when I remember I would wake up at the same time and I would cry for an hour and I'd go back to sleep. And I just remember waking up and thinking, who the hell cares? I went back to sleep. I woke up the next day and I felt victorious. I'm like, heck yeah, that's me. I did that. So, you know, I was really working on bringing my vibration up, my energy up. And I look back on that time of solitude and quiet. And I think, wow, I grew so much. That was the very first time that I went to the Akashic Hall. And I remember standing there, looking at my book of life. I was trying to think how old I was. I was 28, 29, right around, right after Saturn returned. So it's 28, 29, you know, actually I think it's 30. It's 30. Yeah, it was 30. And I was looking at the book and it was about two-fifths, maybe not quite three-fifths finished, but not halfway. Between two-fifths and halfway, somewhere between there. And I know I'm not going to be around for a long lifespan, and I'm cool. I'm peace with that. I know I have things to do, and then I'm going to just, like, peace out. But, and it was so amazing. And I remember seeing in that book that my life was about to slow down, but then it was going to pick up and it was going to get better, and it did. And then my second daughter was born in 2010. And, you know, things have been up and down since then. But, you know, I can see things that I did that I'm not proud of. I can see ways I reacted to things that really wasn't that important. I overreacted. You know, I went through a really hard time with my health, being gaslit by doctors, being called lazy by everyone, and, you know, just really hard. You know, there was a point in 2017, when I knew I was sick, when I was sleeping 20 to 24-hour days, and I made peace with death. And, you know, once you make peace with death, there is nothing in this world that will scare you. So, like, when we had this pandemic issue go on, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to get it. To go out, I'm going to get it. And I did. I gave it to my girls. We got through it. Life went on, kind of. The bond within my family was broken because we were apart from each other for 2 months. And in that 2 months time, my health started sliding backwards. And I learned just recently that anytime you're blood oxygen level depreciates 10%, your blood-brain barrier is open. So when your blood-brain barrier is open and you've got viruses going on, you've got weaponized diseases inside your body, and it affects your brain, yeah, you're going to have some depression after that. Just like the people that go and get the genetic juice, they have depression and other issues, and they'll never escape it. Because their body is going to continue making those spikes forever until they instruct their body to stop it, to stop making these spikes. But that set me in a pattern of depression and not myself, or maybe myself just extra. And, you know, if I could look back, I would prioritize things differently, and I would do things differently. And I have a lot of regrets, and so as I'm reflecting on my regrets, there's things that I want to make better, you know. And hopefully, you know, I mean, this person has not necessarily been an angel to me, but I could be better. What they've done to me is not a testament of my character. It's a testament of theirs. So what I do is between God and I, and what they do is between them and God, if they choose to have a version of God or whatever. But I know I could be better. And, you know, what I'm going to do every day is just be a better person. And, you know, yeah, they, you know, it's not been great. And, you know, definitely a soul bond that's ending. And, you know, I'm kind of sad. But, you know, I want to be able to look back at this time and know that I didn't deliver the hard blows. That during this time of extreme confusion and upset, I want to be able to look back at this time and know that I did okay by me. That I will be able to look at myself in the mirror and go, you know, that was a really horrible situation. However, I'm okay with the person I was. And I'm really working towards that. I would appreciate it if they found my memes funny. If they don't. So, you know, there's that, and just really getting personal and raw on a 8 days before I turn 45. You know, there's a lot of reflections, you know, a lot of, hey, I've got like 20 years. What the hell am I going to do with it? Do I want to waste it away like it's the last 10 in bed? Sick, like Jabba the Hutt on the couch, to use someone's words? No, you know, so I'm doing things, but it's time to make them count. And if you find yourself in these cycles of what do I do, where do I go, you know, what's going on, just know that you're in good company. Whatever you do, keep your vibration high. You know, you'll start to repel the negative people, like you'll just repel them. Except, you know, there are some narcissists that really go after the vibrant ones. But, you know, learn the signs. And, you know, narcissists get a bad rap. The reason why they are the way they are is because they have been damaged and they have not confronted the damage they have sustained. And instead of confronting their own personal damage they inflicted on others, they punish others for their own internal wounds. And you know what? There's no happiness there. There's no joy. If you find yourself with qualities that you do not like, change yourself. Whatever you have to do to become a better person, do it. You know, there's really amazing people on this planet. And the more you on your own energy, the more you attract them to. And as we see in the next 7 years, but ultimately 10, there are people that we thought we were close to drop out of our lives. And there are people that we love very much, and a lot of people that got conned into accepting the genetic juice, a lot of people got conned. They did it because they themselves are good people, and they thought, you know, I want to protect other people because that's how this is being sold. A lot of us saw through it, but not everybody did. Not everybody had the life experiences that would make them cynical. And we know there were people that were impartial about it, or people that didn't really want to do it, but they did it because their job made them. But we're going to lose a lot of really amazing people. I see that. I do see that Charles will not be around for very long. Things will be good under King William. We're more in a one-world government because borders are arbitrary and they're used to divide people to keep them fighting amongst themselves instead of fighting who they need to be fighting, and that's the people that create the one-world government. Klaus Schwab has a book called The Great Reset. You can get it online. Quiet Weapons for Silent Wars is another book you can get for free online. Print it out. If you're tactile and you need to hold it, print it. Read it. A lot of books. I recommend Dr. Peter McCullough's book. It was co-written by a man who writes like a suspense kind of novel. I met him not too long ago. But Dr. Peter McCullough has such a really beautiful vibration about him. I'm definitely excited to have him a part of my city. He's got a big personality. I like him. I really would like to see Dallas go in that direction and be a shining beacon in the middle of the country like it already is. I love this city. It needs a little work. I love this city. The next election. Federal elections are already decided before the candidates are in. Unless you get on the really small scale. But on the large scale, they already know. And they usually choose to they tend to choose somebody that's going to keep everybody distracted. And there's some elections that are, you know, hard to dispute, like when Obama won. And, you know, he's charismatic. Suave, cool. Yeah, I voted for him twice. Now that I see some of the things that he voted for and set up, maybe he was a little naive, which I think was definitely preyed upon, like a vulture, you know, or he was forced to do. I see that he was forced to do a lot of things that he's not okay with, that at night still bother him, and he's not okay with some of the things he was forced to do. So there are those that are okay with the things they're forced to do. The one in office, he's okay with it. There's always these nice shining energies, like Kennedy with Lyndon Johnson, you know, a total psychopath for a vice president, you know, John Kennedy, beautiful energy. Somewhat, you know, his nephew is really committed to doing right. I've met him several times, and he absolutely has a commitment and a strong internal desire to do right by, to do right. He stands up what he knows is right, and he dares people to sue him, and they don't. And I think that's pretty amazing. You know, but yeah, you get somebody young like John Kennedy, and then you get like some vulture like Lyndon Johnson on the ticket, and there you go. And yes, Kennedy was an inside job. The magic bullet theory is false. So I really feel that Reagan's dementia was planned. So that that would be able, that would enable other people to control the country. Carter, I feel that he wanted to see the good and didn't really, I feel like his intentions were good, but the things that happened while he was president, the some of the really bad, the harder, terrible stuff, really not so good. You know, a lot of people have talked about the leaks from the Hunter Biden laptop. And he's the way he is because he grew up in a culture that's very sick. And obviously he's, you know, using drugs to escape it. Yeah, you know, I don't wish that culture on anyone, and I think it's very hard. I actually kind of feel sorry for him in a small way, but he's old enough to know the things he's doing isn't right. He's just so removed from reality through the use of substances that he cannot fully grasp things, and I don't think he ever will. You know, he'll go to rehab like 700 times, and it's not going to do good. And yeah, the stuff from the laptop is insanely disturbing. I feel like there's going to be more exposure about that. Prions, okay, that's when you, you know what, that is going to be the silent cause of unexplained deaths. We have like this really high number of all-cause mortality that went up 40-80% or something last year. We're going to see a lot more of that. And eventually we're going to see that there are prion illnesses, like mad cow disease. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, fatal familial insomnia, like Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease is actually getting getting some names, and they're becoming more common, and I think that's what happens when a normal prion protein, which is, it's on the cells, it's in the body, they clump together in the brain. And the latest genetic juice, or the genetic juice, the spikes do cross the blood-brain barrier. Anytime the blood-brain barrier is compromised, these abnormal cells can get in the brain, and it causes brain damage. They're supposed to be rare. But what we're going to see in the upcoming 10 years is that they're not rare. They're going to be induced by this genetic juice. We'll know that within 7 years. I really feel like 2035. Okay, so yeah. By the time I really see 2035 hits, I really see that it's going to be like things will be overgrown and, you know, we'll be basic living, but we'll be happy because we're free. Freedom is a beautiful thing. So these abnormal proteins that just really wreak havoc in the body, don't really get better. Now, if you do suffer from retroviral issues, Dr. Mikovits said to use quercetin, C, D, and zinc every single day, and you won't really struggle with retroviral illnesses. There's a prion disease that is caused by contaminated human brain tissue. Okay, so that's from people from New Guinea who practiced a form of cannibalism in which they ate the brains of dead people as part of a funeral ritual. That sounds like a bad idea. Yeah, don't do that. We don't know what's in the genetic juice. We just know that we're dying. You know what? There's 2 minutes left. So be safe. Be positive. Keep hope alive. Always hold on to the handrail. So I want to thank you for listening to me open my soul and speak. I did a little bit of channeling for y'all. I just got that 90-second warning. So, you know, I'm going to send a lot of love to everyone, an abundance of love and an abundance of peace. And, you know, pray a lot, pray often, pray for your enemies, pray for those you love, keep swimming. So, with that said, I am going to end the show, and I wish you all a good night and a wonderful day tomorrow. May peace be with you.